Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly await for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you be consumed by one another. Now, what is meant by the flesh? We've talked about this before. The flesh may be defined as man's fallen nature as under the power of sin. It is the evil principle in man's nature, the traitor within, who is in league with the attackers without. The flesh provides the tinder on which the devil's temptations can kindle. That came from J.O. Sanders. Mark Bubeck goes further and says, "The flesh is a built-in law of failure, making it impossible for the natural man to please or serve God. It is a compulsive inner force inherited from man's fall, which expresses itself in general and specific rebellion against God and his righteousness. The flesh can never be reformed or improved. The flesh is the only hope for escape from the law of the flesh is its total execution and replacement by a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ." We are free in Christ, and only through Christ. We cannot revert to the things of the flesh and expect to be free. It won't work. We're bound to fail. We will fail every time. We'll not have a good testimony. We will not have joy, Christian joy. We will not have that sense of victory that God has already given us. A couple of points I want to look at. First of all, verses 1 to 6. We are free because of faith. Now, a lot of people think they've got to work their way to salvation, but that's not true. That's the furthest thing from the truth. We are free because of faith. Now, it's not just any kind of faith. It's faith in Jesus Christ. That's what makes us free. I want you to turn just a few pages back in your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 2. This is quite an extensive bit of scripture, verses 2 through 11, but Paul just ties in this point in Galatians so well. Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. If you want to ask yourself this question, am I living in the Spirit or am I living in the flesh? Well, what is on your mind most of the time? If you're spending most of your time thinking about how you can outdo someone, or how you can bring someone down, or how you can criticize and call someone to fall, if you're just thinking about how you can have more of this world's treasure, if you're thinking about how you can become more famous or popular, the list goes on and on and on. If you're thinking on those types of things, most of the time, you're living in the flesh. Remember years ago, they said, if it feels good, do it. That's living in the flesh. That's not living in the Spirit. Verse 5 again. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. If you have a carnal mind, your mind is against God. God is against you. God will not, cannot bless you if you have a carnal mind. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Verse 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Do you see that? If you're living most of the time in the flesh, you cannot. I cannot please God. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Everything about Jesus Christ and everything about the Spirit of God has to do with life. It has to do with renewal. It has to do with love. It has to do with understanding. It has to do with having a spirit of compassion. Those are the things that are of Christ and of the Spirit. When we tend to have a critical spirit, that is not of God. I'm going to say that again. If we have a critical spirit, that is not of God. Well, they need to know what's right. And who made you the authority? You're trying to tell somebody what's right? See, the only thing that we've got to share with anybody as far as right information is the Word of God. Our opinions don't matter to God. They don't matter to God. Now, if you can lovingly share the Word of God through the Spirit, God will bless that. He really will. But you can't be judgmental. And you can't already have your mind made up, this person's all wrong. That's legalism. That's of the flesh. It just doesn't work. You say, who says it doesn't work? God says it doesn't work. I didn't make this stuff up. God did. I've been reading Scripture to you where He said it. You want to be free in Christ? Realize that Christ has made you free. If you belong to Him, He's made you free. If you're not free, perhaps you don't belong to Him. That's where you need to start. Are you truly saved? Verses 2 to 4. The law binds us. See what it says there? Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he's a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You have attempted to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. The things of the law will bind us. We don't know for sure who said this, but it's attributed to John Bunyan. John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress. But this is what the writer says. The law commands, but gives me neither feet nor hands. Can you imagine that? I get a command from the law, but it doesn't give me any feet or hands. I can't do anything. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything at all. For better news, the gospel brings. It bids me fly and gives me wings. Wouldn't you rather have the Spirit? The Spirit of God? God tells us to fly and He gives you wings so you can do it. Don't live in bondage. Verses 5 and 6. The Spirit enables us to live in hope. Oh, this two verses are just dripping with good news. First of all, he talks about eagerly awaiting. When we're walking in the Spirit, we're living in the Spirit, when we love others, and that's what motivates us, we are eagerly awaiting everything that God has for us. Eagerly awaiting. That's what he says here. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly await for the hope of righteousness by faith. Are you eagerly awaiting what God has in store? Or do you have your mind on this pitiful world and the people within it, and you're spending most of your days trying to keep all them straight? Again, it's not your job to do that. That's God's job. Folks, I'm a pastor. Some people could say it's my job to keep people straight. When people bring that up, I say, no, it's not. It's not my job. No, it's my job to deliver the good news. It's my job to be a shepherd. A shepherd prays for his sheep. A shepherd protects his sheep. And one of the main ways a shepherd protects his sheep in the pastoral sense is to teach them the Word of God, whether they like the Word or not. I'm reminded in Jesus' earthly ministry, many times people rejected his message, but he still gave it. And so that's been my thought all these years. I'm going to give them a message, and for those who reject it, I pray for them, but thank God for those who will receive it and do something about it and let God have freedom in their life. Because those are the winners. Those are the ones who will go away with something that's profitable. Then he talks in verse 5 also about the hope of righteousness. In this usage, righteousness, another word is justification. We have the hope of justification. We are eagerly awaiting the hope of justification. Somewhere out there in the future, we're going to be completely justified. Now, right now, thank God, the blood of Christ has justified us, and there's no sin that can be held against us. But in the future, we're going to be completely, fully justified as we come into our glory that God has for us. Sin will not affect us one bit. Sin will not be anywhere around. This is what we eagerly await for. If I've got my mind thinking on the things that I'm eagerly awaiting for, I don't have time to try to keep you straight. Because I'm so rejoicing in what God has in store for me and what He's got in store for all who love Him. No situation is bad. No situation is too bad. No situation is hopeless because of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? So why in the world do we go around with a scowl on our face? Why do we get all disjointed against other people? We don't like what they're doing. Again, it doesn't matter if you don't like what they're doing. You're not going to change it. We should be living in joy. We should be free. Christ Jesus freed us at Calvary. He didn't free us so we could live in the flesh. He freed us so we could live in the Spirit. In verse 5, he also says, all this comes by faith. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. That's how it comes, not through works, not through good intentions, not through being in Sunday school every day, not through reading the Bible every day, none of that, not by drinking milk three times a day, nothing, none of that. It's by faith. It's by faith. Sometimes people get weary and tired waiting on the Lord. But if you're waiting on the Lord by faith, you don't get tired. You just get a little more excited every day. You're one day closer to what God has in store. It should make you a little bit happier each and every day. Yeah, it does. So, when we look at this, it's by faith, but also verse 6, the main thought, for in Christ Jesus, all of this is in Christ. We should live our life in Christ. We should have our testimony in Christ. We should have our joy in Christ. We should have all of our promises that we're looking forward to. They're in Christ. I tell you, whatever's in Christ, the devil can't mess with. So why not put your family in Christ? Put your children, your grandchildren in Christ. Put all of your hopes and desires and wants and wishes in Christ. The devil won't mess with it. If you're thinking about being in Christ every second of every day, you won't be in the flesh. And if you don't get in the flesh, you don't get in trouble with God. That's who you need to be worried about. You'll have joy. Everlasting joy. So we're free because of faith. But secondly, and there's only two, so don't worry about that. Number two, we are fulfilled because of love. Verses 7 through 15. First of all, he gives some warnings in verses 7 to 10. First of all, he says, Beware of hindrances. Beware of hindrances. You know, sometimes people can be a hindrance. Sometimes people can come around, they've got the wrong thing to say, and they can be a hindrance to our Christian joy. Beware of hindrances. You don't want to get caught up in those. He says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Can you see a racer out there on the track? And that racer, he's winning every heat. Every event, he's winning. And then one time he comes out there and he's got this big load on his back. And he gets in the race and he's running against four other people, and he comes in last. Well, it's easy to see what hindered him. He's got this big weight on his back. But when people are walking in the Spirit and then all of a sudden they begin to walk in the flesh, it's not as evident. Sometimes it's hidden because only God knows their heart. But if we find ourselves walking in the Spirit and then changing it over to walking in the flesh, we're not going to run well because we're hindered. And there's all kinds of hindrances. People can be a hindrance. The things we do with our time can be a hindrance. Even good things can be a hindrance. But see, there are good things and there are the best things. We want to do the best thing. We want to listen to the best information, not just good information. What is the best information? Right here. God's Word. If somebody tells you something, you need to check it out. If you don't have the Word of God in you enough that you don't already know when you hear something, if you're not sure, you go check it out before you say or do anything about it. It's like the internet. You'll read something on the internet and it looks true. You go to check it out and you find out it's a fabrication. Many times it's a fabrication. That's how life is. People can tell you anything. People can say anything. But is it true? You need to check it out by God's Word. If somebody tries to bring down somebody's character or ruin their testimony, in addition to going to God's Word, you better go to prayer. You better go to prayer as soon as you can. Say, Lord God, I just heard this bit of news, but I don't know if it's true or not. Father, help me just to give the benefit of the doubt. Help me to treat this person the way I've been treating them. Help me not to be affected by this information that's been given to me. That goes to verse 8. Beware of wrong ideas. Beware of wrong ideas. That's why I say, check it out. Just because somebody tells you something does not make it the truth. Remember, the person you're listening to, no matter who they are, is subject to sin, just like all of us. Verse 9, beware of bad company. You can hang around bad company and that'll be a hindrance to you. You're seeing how they live. Maybe you'll start living the way they live, and it's not good. You're operating in the flesh. Or someone sees you with them in a certain place and they associate you with them or that place. I know, I've heard people say, well, that's just not fair. Well, I'm telling you, that's the way the world works. If you're in the wrong place with the wrong people, you'll be associated with them. Well, I don't care. Let them do it. Do you care about your testimony? Your testimony should mean something to you. Beware of hindrances and wrong ideas and bad company. It says there in the scripture, a little leaven. Let's go to that. Verse 9. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. Another word for leaven is yeast. A little bit of yeast. You have a lump. You have a wad of dough to make bread. And you put just a little bit of yeast with it, it's going to spread through the whole lump of dough. When we as Christians find ourselves in bad company, we have to realize the proverb. This was a proverb in Paul's day. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You can have your excuses and oh no, I won't be affected and all that. You will be affected. You will be affected. Guard against such. When our children were teenagers, we told them, bring your friends to our house. At that time, we had a bonus room over a garage, and it was well controlled. It was just that room. It didn't open up to the other bedrooms on that floor. It was just that one room, one way up, one way down. I was usually standing at the base of the stairs with a shotgun. No. No. Our kids would invite their friends over, and we'd make sure that they had plenty of Coke and Dr. Pepper and snacks to snack on. They'd come over and do whatever teenagers do. And we knew, first of all, where our kids were. We knew who they were with. We knew they were good kids. We knew their background. We knew almost all their parents. We knew that. We knew they were church kids. Were they perfect? No, they weren't perfect. But they had good manners. They behaved themselves well. And Judy and I didn't have to wonder where they were or who they were with. We went a little extra and opened up our house. And that paid off in so many dividends. There's ways of helping other people to be in the right company. Even if you bring someone in that might be considered bad company, if most of the people is make up good company, you've got a chance to rub off on them. That leaven, leavening the whole lump, can work the other way. If you get enough Christians together and a sinner come into the midst, then Christianity can spread to that sinner. Use that. In verse 10, they say, beware of destructive doctrines. Beware of destructive doctrines. Destructive teachings. Teachings that are not the Word of God. That's what that is. Look at Paul's motives, verses 11 and 12. Paul's motives, quite simply, has to do with the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross. That's what he used. He didn't use the things of legalism. He simply preached the cross. What is preaching the cross about? It's showing the world that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin. He shed His precious blood so that we could be redeemed. And He loved us so much that He gave His life for us. And they took Him down from that cross, and on the third day He arose. And He is victorious over death and sin. That's preaching the cross. That's what Paul was motivated by. He preached the cross because he loved the people. He wanted them to be saved. In another place he said, when he was talking about Israel, he says, it's my heart's desire that Israel would be saved. He said, if it were possible, I would be a curse from God if Israel could be saved. Paul lived the gospel. He preached Jesus and Him crucified. That's what his motives were. That should be our motive. We should want to love people so much that everywhere we go, we should tell them about Jesus. Now, if we've got some kind of negative thing going on and we're being critical or judgmental, that gets in the way. You can't spread the gospel and be critical and judgmental. Verses 13 to 15, the brethren's calling. We're the brethren. Look what he says in verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Just because we have liberty, we can't cross our arms and get puffed up and say, I'm better than all them. I know I'm better than all them. That's not what we're told to do. We're called to liberty. And being called to liberty means we believe in grace. We believe God can change any person. Right? We believe it doesn't matter how far down in sin a person gets, that God can pull him out of that hole and save him. We're called to liberty, and we're called to serve one another in love. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Be honest with me. Now, don't nod your head yes or no, but just to yourself, answer this question. Do you love everyone? And if you say, yes, I love everyone, do you really love everyone? And if you say, yes, I love everyone, do you live it? Do you show it? Do you do it? It's one thing to say, I love everyone. It's another when you don't live it. Let me tell you, if you don't love everyone, you'll give it away. You'll give it away in your actions. You'll give it away in your speech. You will. You need to love everyone. Because when you love everyone, truly, you'll give that away. People will know. You ever heard people say about another person, you know, I believe he loves everybody. You know? I mean, that can be said of people. We're told to love everyone. We're called to serve one another in love. That's our calling. John Mason Brown was a drama critic and speaker well known for his witty and informative lectures on topics of the theater. One of his first important appearances as a lecturer was at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Brown was pleased, but also rather nervous, and his nerves were not helped when he noticed by the light of the slide projector that someone was copying his every gesture. After a time, he broke off his lecture and announced with great dignity that if anyone was not enjoying the talk, he was free to leave. Nobody did. And the mimicking continued. It was another 10 minutes before Brown realized that the mimic was his own shadow. Was Brown's shadow real? Well, yes, of course. Does a shadow have power to control a person's actions? No. It can only mimic us. But in Brown's case, his shadow did take control momentarily. Why? Because he allowed himself to be distracted. You might say he was addicted. He was addicted by it that he completely forgot what he was supposed to be about. And that's a pretty good description of the sin nature we carry with us as redeemed people. It can cause havoc, even though it has been made powerless by our identification with Christ. Our sin nature is still with us. When we were cleansed at Calvary, the old man, the sin nature, was left intact. And I wish that were not so. If I were able to tell God back in eternity past, now God, don't leave that sin nature with us. But I wasn't there, and he didn't ask my opinion when I did come along. That's what God did. He left that sin nature with us. Now we're saved. We're on our way to heaven. We're part of the family of God. But don't ever forget the sin nature is still there. And if we let that sin nature take control, it will. And we'll be living in the flesh. And then we won't know the victory that we've got. We won't realize the victory we've got because we're living in the flesh. If you want to be free in Christ, you've got to let Galatians 2:20 be a reality. It says, we are crucified with Christ. Now, that is not in the future. That is in the past. We were crucified with Christ when we got saved. But when we live in the flesh, we're not living like the crucified life prescribed. So do you want joy? Do you want freedom? God makes it so easy for us to have it. All we need to do is walk with Christ. Let him have control. And we will be free in Christ. Today, I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know if you've got some problem that is connected to the flesh. It could be something that's gone on for many years in your life, and you've just never known how to deal with it, how to handle it. Well, today you could let go of that. Today you could give that to Jesus and let him take that away from you so that you won't have it any longer. He wants you to walk in freedom. Father, we pray that you'll take the word today and apply it to our hearts. And as we open up this time at the altar, if there's any who need to come and pray, I know that you will speak to hearts and you will bring them. But primarily, Lord, we just pray for victory for every person. For every person who's a Christian, that each individual will realize the freedom they can have because they're a child of God. Help us, Lord, to recognize the hindrances that cause us to stumble. And help us, Lord, to be on the right path, the path of righteousness, because that's where we're going. Our hope is in the righteousness of Christ. And one day we're going to be completely free of all sin. Won't even have the sin nature anymore. Everything will be made new. And until that day, Lord, get us ready for heaven. Prepare our hearts. Transform us. Make us to be more like Jesus. In His name, amen.